Now we're holding good days. I'm at Aleph, the fourth line. We started talking about, so the Mishnah says the case rotzen achar mitzia. We said a person finds, person sees people running in his field after a mitzia. If he says zochsali sadi and discuss does he actually need to say that or not, then he's koine. If not, then not. Well, actually, what we said was, to be exact, was we said also that it depends not only whether he says Zoxali Sadi or Omi Batsad Sadehu, as the case may be, but also that it has to be something where he would be able to get it before it runs out of his field. For example, a deer has a broken leg and therefore it's not going to be able to run that fast. Otherwise, it doesn't count. So in that connection, so now the Gemara says Gufa. So now getting back to that. That this would only apply if he's able to run after them and catch them before they run out of the field. And now Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, what would be the din by a matana? Would we say the same kind of thing? In other words, so would we say the same kind of thing if a person gives, let's say, for example, you have the deer or the birds or whatever, somebody gave it to him as a present, as opposed to here where he's finding it from Hefker and it's in his field, but it's going to run out before he manages to get to it. Would the same concept apply that he's only going to be zoicha in it because of kinyan chotzer only if he's able to reach it before it runs out? Or would we say by a matana it's different because there you have das acheres, because there you have somebody giving a tam as a matana, and therefore the din would be maybe that even if it runs out before he gets it, nevertheless he was already koneh it when it was in his field, and he doesn't lose the ownership of it just because it runs out. So the Gemara says kibla b'minei Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana accepted that from him, meaning he said that's true. That is a valid distinction. Afal pi sherotzach rein ve'en magian, and it's true by a matana he would be zoicha even if he doesn't reach it in time, because by a matana, since you have das acheres involved, then therefore he can be koneh even just by he can be koneh by kinyan chotzer again as long as it's a chotzer mishtameres, even though he doesn't reach it in time. So the Gemara says, "Boi Rava." In that case, Rava asks the question, "Zorak auniki pesach ze." What if a person threw a purse through one door of a house, the yotze pesach achar mahu, and it flew through the house and went out the other door? Now Rashi explains that the case would be that when the person threw the purse, he was mafkir it to whoever's koneh at first. So now the question would be, it's because Reuven threw the purse and was mafkir it, and now it's flying through Shimon's house. Is Shimon koneh it by virtue of it going through his house, or no, because it doesn't land there and it ends up going out the other door? So according to Rashi, we're talking about that he was mafkir it. Tosfos actually brings a girsa that they had in front of them that said the word va'afkere, but Tosfos doesn't like it. And says that no, we're talking about it remains his until somebody else is zoicha in it. So he's not actually being mafkir it. He's just saying I know the now the now there are so Tosfos points out the problem with it is that in that case then how what does it have to do with our Mishnah again or what does it have to do with Rabbi Yirmiyah's case of das acheres machne? If he's mafkir it, then there's still no das acheres. Somebody is whoever is a Shimon whose house it's flying through is acquiring it from Hefker. There's no das involved. So the Rashba talks about the fact is the owner made it Hefker, so that's enough to be considered das acheres, as opposed to here you found a deer that may never have belonged to somebody else. And the Tzoris makes a different point on it. He says that the fact is, well, how does the mechanism of Hefker work anyway, is basically a neder. Well, then in that case, so there is das acheres machne, he's just not allowed to retract his neder. Anyway, So are we talking about that he was mafkir or not? That you have a discussion among Rishonim. Anyway, so Rava is asking, the question is, Mahu, what would be the din? Would we say, since it's not going to land over there because the way it was thrown, it's going to naturally pass through there. It's not going to land there in the first place. Maybe that's enough. Maybe nevertheless, it's considered as though it landed in there, and therefore the guy would be koine it, or maybe not. So, so three different versions of who pointed this out to Rava. Lav hainu masnisin. Isn't this exactly the case of our Mishnah, where you have in the Mishnah the case that you have people running after a Metziah, and he says that I want my field to be zoicha for me. And Rabbi Yirmiya said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it means that he has to reach it. And Rabbi Yirmiya asked on that the matona heyach. What would be the din by matona? Implying by matona, it's different. The kibla minei Rabbi Abba Kahana by matona. And Rabbi Abba Kahana said, yes, that's indeed so. By matona, the fact is he would be koina even if he runs after it and doesn't catch it. So you see that even though ein sofer lanuach, this deer, for example, is a healthy deer and it's going to run out of the field before he gets it. Nevertheless, by matona, it's different. So again, according to Rashi that we're talking about in the case of the purse, he was mafter it, then you would have to say, like the Rashba says, that we're talking about, that there is, after all, a das who's mafter it, or like the Ktzos says, that in effect he's making a neder to be mafter it, and therefore it still belongs to him. He just can't retract his neder, according to Tosfos. And the other Rishonim, he's not necessarily being mafter it, so it remains his until the next person gets it, and therefore, so now that amounts to a matona. Well, in that case, so that would answer your question. Yes, the Shimon, the owner of the house, is koina the purse, even though it flies out of his house because it passed through his house. Omalei, but Rava says that's not a proof. Misgalgo Kamert, you're talking about in the Mishnah, you're trying to bring a proof from something that's rolling or running on the ground. Shiny misgalgo to kamunach dummy. It's different when it's rolling or running on the ground. There it can be considered as though it's actually lying on the ground, as opposed to the purse flies through the air altogether, and there it's not really the same thing at all. Now, Rashi points out, by the way, there's no question if sofer lenuach b'seich habayis, if the one who threw it in such a way where it would normally land in the house, then there's no question, even if somebody else grabs it before it lands on the ground, he's not koine. As soon as it comes into the airspace of the house, the balabas is koine. And Rashi brings a proof from a case in Gittin where we had like that, where a woman is standing on top of a roof and the husband standing on the ground throws her a get. Then it becomes the get takes effect as soon as it goes into the airspace of the roof because it is going to land there. But here we're talking about where, to begin with, it was thrown in such a way where it would end up passing through the entire house. So Rava is saying from our Mishnah is not really a proof because the fact is in our Mishnah the deer is running, meaning that it keeps on touching the ground. So therefore you can say, or any other kind of metziah like that you're talking about, that it's touching the ground, and therefore you can say that then it's considered on the ground. But that doesn't prove for the case where it's just flying through the air, then that wouldn't necessarily follow. So the fact is Rava's question has not been answered over here. Agos HaGra points out over here that the Rambam doesn't bring that distinction at all. Only in connection, the Rambam brings it in connection with Gittin, but he doesn't mention it in connection with the halachas of Mekach HaMemker or Dinim Mominus at all. He mentions the first part of Rava's question when it's flying through the air. But he doesn't draw the distinction between misgalgal or not. So one consideration Mefoshim point out is that there are other gemaras that bear on this. There's a gemara in Zvachim, for example, that talks about when a kohen is doing kabbalah sadam by a korban, you can have a case over there where the blood is spurting out of the neck of the animal, and meanwhile, all of a sudden, at that same moment, the kli sharis that he's using, the mizrach that he uses, develops a hole in it, and therefore the blood is not going to reach the bottom of it because the bottom fell out, and we say that's not a valid kabbalah. So therefore, the Rambam can deduce from that that yes, we can say that avashein sofer lanuach kamunach domi, that say that that when it's not going to land there, it's not considered like munach, And therefore, that would answer our question over here, even though the Gemara over here hasn't explicitly answered it. Okay. Mishnah says, Metzias Bnoy, continuing on the dinim of Metzia, here let's focus on a Metzia that somebody else found, somebody in his household. Metzias Bnoy Bitek Tanim, what a person's Ketanim, son or daughter, find, and we're going to see in the Gemara two possibilities what we mean by Ketanim for this purpose, or Metzias Abde V'Shifchose Ketanim, or anything that is Eved Ketanim or Shifch Ketanim is fine, where they're considered they're his own Avodim after all. He has Kinyan Aguf on them, so whatever they do is as an extension of him. And Metziah Mashkona Eved Kona Rabbi, and Metziah Ishtoi, and also anything his wife finds, Harei L'Shaloi, all of those he belongs. All of those belong to him. So in the case of Bnoy Bito Yaktanim, we'll see in the Gemara two possibilities of what Ktanim means in this connection, and therefore why he gets to keep them. The Abd of Shechos Yaktanim, again, their goof is Kodri to him. As far as his wife, Rashi says the Chachamim will misaken it because of Eva. Which either means it can mean that if she gets to keep it, then the husband is going to not be so well disposed to her. He's going to say, "Wait, I'm supporting you. I'm everything, and now I don't even get your metziah." The Rashba points out another point as well, which is, you might have conceivably, if she's allowed to keep her metziah, she might claim any money that she comes across or whatever, even in cases where it should legitimately belong to her husband. For example, payers from her nichsa malug or whatever, she might falsely claim as a metziah in order to keep it away from her husband, and therefore by saying that it goes to her husband, then that forestalls that possibility. So that would be another meaning of Ava. Next, metziahs b'noy b'tag dolim. On the other hand, what his gdolim, son or daughter, find, and again, we'll see once we see in the Gemara what ketanim means for this purpose, then we'll understand that gdolim obviously is the opposite. Or metziahs abdev shechase ivrim, or anything that is eved ivri or omah ivriya, fine. Now, their guf is not koni to him. When a person buys an eved ivri or an omah ivriya, he doesn't own their guf, he only owns their work. Now, the Gemara is going to ask that the fact is they're working for him. We touched on the other day in the Gemara that Metzias Poel Abalabayas, so the Gemara will deal with that point on Amud Beis. But in any case, the point is, you can't say their goof is konui to him, and therefore whatever they're koina, then he's koina, because that only works by Avodim and Shvachas Knan. So here, instead, Metzias Ishtei Shigirsha, or if his wife finds something after he divorced her. Now, the Gemara is going to ask if that's Pasha, because once he divorced her, obviously they have nothing to do with one another, so we'll see in the Gemara about that. Anyway, Afal Pi Shelenosin Ksuba, even if he did not yet pay the Ksuba, Harei Elo Shalahen, nevertheless, it still belongs to them. So the Gemara starts off, Omer Shmuel. Now, Shmuel is going to take the Katan and Gadol of our Mishnah in the literal sense. We're going to see on Amud Beis that Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn differently, but right now we're going to explain according to Shmuel that the word cotton in our Mishnah means an actual cotton. So then what? So Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma Omru Metzias Cotton La'aviv. Why did the Chachamim say that what a child finds belongs to his father? Now Rashi explains, when it comes to his wife, we said Mishum Eva. When it comes to his daughter, also, we understand. Now, Tosfos on Amud Beis deals with that, according to Rashi, the reason is because it would be midaraisa. Since the Torah says, bin oreha beisaviha, the Torah says about a girl, as long as she's a ketana or naira, then she's in her father's house, meaning that her father has reshus over her, as we learned in Kedushin, for example, he can accept her Kedushin during that time, etc. So therefore, on the basis of that, then is why her metziah belongs to her father. Tosfos actually disagrees and says, no, it's not daraisa, it's only dirabanan, because since he has the ability to be mekadesh her to whoever he wants, to accept kedushin on her behalf from whoever he wants, including a menuhal or mukashin, then therefore the chachamim made it that instead he should get her metziah, and that will give him an incentive to not do that. Anyway, so Shmuel wants to know, why is that the case with a cut? Neither of those considerations applies to a cotton. There's no Ava involved. There's no particular reason to think there's Ava involved. To be Makata Binureha Besavia applies to a girl. To be Makadish her to somebody else, a man can't be Makadish his son as a cotton to somebody else. So why do the Chachamim say that what a child finds, what a boy finds, belongs to his father? The reason is because when he finds it, he runs it to his father. A child naturally does that. When he finds something, he's very excited about it, and he runs and tells his father about it. He doesn't hold it for any length of time in his hand. He right away goes and tells his tati about it. So therefore, Rashi says, the result is, when he picked it up to begin with, he picked it up for his father. Meaning, in other words, Shmuel is not even saying that he's first zoicha in it for himself, and then from that he's mezaka to his father. Rather, we're saying to begin with, when he picks it up, he has in mind to give it to his father. So it's not even really, so, you know, we had the other day the whole discussion about hamagbia matzia lachaveri kona chaveri, but there you're talking about or loy kona chaveri. There you're talking about though where the person himself has the ability to be koin. Here Shmuel is saying that to begin with, that the child himself doesn't really have the ability to be koin it, because not really, he may have the ability. Cotton does have the ability to be koin it, but he doesn't have the das to be koin it for himself. When he picks it up, he immediately thinks of his father. So the Gemara asks, "Lememra d'stavah Shmuel cotton less leitzchiyah l'nafshim midaraisa." So are you telling me then that a child is not zoicha in something for himself midaraisa, only midrabanan? Because if we were to say, in other words, the point of the question is, if we were to say that he's zoicha min haTorah, then the fact that he's zoicha min haTorah would not be reason enough to take it away from him and give it to his father. So we have to assume that the whole thing is midrabon. The Maharam Shif puts it a little differently. He says, if you're going to say that he's zoicha min haTorah, then why are we saying as a blanket statement, kot mitzias of aviv, according to Shmuel's reason, it would depend. Is this a child who runs over and shows everything to his father, but not necessarily? So the fact that not means that the Chachamim are to the begin with making the takana that he can be koina, and then he can be zoicha, and then therefore they're overriding that same takana of theirs in favor of their father. On the other hand, the Rosh learns that the Gemara's question is that maybe even midrabanan he doesn't have a method of being zoicha. So even when he's zoicha in the first place, then it would actually only be dirabon. But again, according to Rashi, the point is, and according to many of the other Rishonim, the point is that we're saying that the concept of a cotton being zoicha is only dirabon. That's the question. So you're telling me that that's the case. V'hotani, we learn in a braisa, if a person hires a worker to harvest his crops, then the worker's son is allowed to collect leket after him. Now we know one of the matnas aniyim is when you drop one or two stalks of grain, or in the case of grapes, one or two grapes while you're harvesting them, then they have to be left for the poor. So now, normally, you're going to have poor people are going to be wandering around the field looking for leket. In this case, the worker himself can have his son follow behind him and pick up any leket that he drops. And that way, the worker will be able to keep it as matnas aniyim. But, continues the braisa, lemechtza l'shlish v'lerviyah, but if instead of hiring the worker and paying him a certain fixed amount, instead he tells him that you're going to get a half or a third or a quarter of the produce of the field, lo yalaket b'nai achrav, then the worker's son is not allowed to go behind him collecting the leket. So then the reason is, Rashi explains, because then what happens is he's like a balabos in this field. So when his son is collecting for him, it's considered as though he's collecting for himself. So one way of understanding it is. So Rabbeinu Chananel says actually that what it is the worker himself is now going to be considered a rich person, and as we learned the other day, a rich person cannot be zoicha in matnas aniyim. We said Rabbi Eliezer says that in a way he could because he could make himself poor, but we said the Chachamim disagree with that. So now, as a result of that, he owns a half or a third or a quarter of the produce of the field. Rabbeinu Chananel learns it means that now he's an usher. On the other hand, Rashi says it's not so much that he's an usher, it's more a matter of that he's considered a balabos in this field. And the din is, we learn actually from Psukim, that when the owner of the field, even if the owner of the field himself is poor, he's not allowed to collect leket or any matnas aniyim from that field himself. We talked about it the other day in connection with Peah. We touched on it, that we said that for one person to collect leket on behalf of the other one, that depending whether they're aniyim, whether the one's an oni and the other an osher, or both of them are aniyim, we talked about the different ways of understanding whether he's able to or not, but the owner of the field is certainly not allowed to. He has a specific mitzvah to leave the matnas aniyim for the poor. So therefore, Rashi learns that in effect, by becoming, by being given as payment for his work, a half or whatever percentage of the produce of the field, then he now becomes in effect an owner of the field, and therefore the din is that he's not allowed to collect like it. And the point is his son can't collect it after him. Rabbi Yossi says either way, it doesn't matter whether he's being paid for the job or whether he's actually getting a certain percentage of the crop. Either way, Rabbi Yossi says his son or his wife could follow him and collect the leket. And Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So now, if you're going to say that a cotton is able to be koina on his own, whether we talk about daraisa or whether not, as the case may be, then you can say, fine, he come a leket, lenafshe come a leket. So fine, he's entitled to collect the leket for himself because the son himself is poor. And then in turn, he gives it to his father, and that's not a problem. So that would explain how the halacha can be like Rabbi Yossi. Eli, I'm a cotton, lesley schir lenafshe. But if you tell me that the cotton has no ability to be koina on his own, daraisa, or maybe not even dirabanan, the problem is, then it comes out when he's collecting on behalf of his father. And the problem is, the problem is that his father is considered rich. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, literally we mean he's considered rich. Or according to Rashi, he's considered an owner of the co-owner of the field, whatever. The point is, so why should his son, why should his wife or his son be able to collect after him? So doesn't that show that a cotton does have the ability to be zoicha for himself? So not like Shmuel was saying that in our Mishnah, the reason why Matzias cotton l'aviv is based on the fact that he's not zoicha in it himself in the first place, because finding leket is basically the same thing as finding a Matzia. Now, Tosfos, who holds that the discussion in the Gemara was whether he's zoicha daraisa. In fact, Tosfos has the girsa in the Gemara islay zchia lenafshim that he has zchia midaraisa. Goes Habach also adds that word. Why do we have to assume that Rabbi Yossi would say that daraisa the child is able to be koneh? Why not say that he's only zoicha midirabanan? And why not say that Mitzias Cotton is Midrabanan, and therefore that he's in there, and therefore the child is able to collect it, and then the father is able to give it from him, because on a Daraisa level, the child does not have the ability to be Zoicha in it. And Tosfos discusses, because there are other Mishnayos that imply that not, and maybe there is a consideration of Eva. Tosfos mentions over here a point like this. If we were going to say that the concept of a child acquiring this midrabanan, then the result is we would have to say there are two takonas over here. First, they would have to make a takana that the son should be zoicha, and then they would have to make a takana that the father should be zoicha from him. So it's not logical, the Tosfos says, it's not a svara to say that the chachamim should make such two takonas. First, to say that the son should be koina, and then to say that the father should be koina from him. So therefore, that's why the Gemara doesn't assume that possibility, and therefore it assumes that if Rabbi Yossi is going to say that the child acquires it, it has to be on a daraisa level. Now this business where Tosfos is saying you don't make two takanas, on the other hand, the Marshal points out when we get soon to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion on Amud Beis, where there we actually have the Chachamim are saying that even though the child is a godol, sometimes the Metziah goes to the father, Mishum Eva. So there you don't have two takanas. The Marshal points out there what you have is that the child finds anything, the father should get it mishum eva. As far as the child himself, he keeps it mipnei davka shalom, as opposed to by leket, where we don't have that because where by leket, when the father is considered rich, we can't say that because the fact is the Torah says that he being rich, he's not able to be zofen in it. That's Marshal, and then Marshal talks about that why isn't it considered two zchuyas? And Marshal discusses differently. He says, look, we're talking according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about a gadol. We're not even talking in our Mishnah about a katan necessarily. We're talking about a gadol. So therefore, so if even he who is able to be zoicha in something min haTorah, and yet Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Eva overrides that, then how much more so a katan? So therefore, you wouldn't have the problem of what Tosfos is saying over here of two zechias, two takonis. Okay. Anyway, so the question again is going back to the Gemara. So the question is on Shmuel. How can Shmuel say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, which implies therefore that he's saying the cotton is zoicha for himself first, and then is mezakeh to his father, and that's the only way that it can work for the child to be able to collect leket and not. Then and the father not be over on the fact that he's a part owner of the field and is collecting leket from it. And yet, on the other hand, Shmuel is saying, in connection with our Mishnah, that we're saying because the child is not zoicha in it for himself, he immediately runs it to his father. So the answer is Shmuel, time at the time of the dan, kamar. The answer is when Shmuel gives the answer about the child running the thing immediately over to his father, he's only coming to explain the reasoning of the Tana of our Mishnah. He himself doesn't hold like that. Because he himself doesn't hold like that, he instead holds like Rabbi Yossi, and in other words, implicitly, Rabbi Yossi would disagree with our Mishnah and say that that Metzias Bno Bitak Tanim may well still belong to the child if the child chooses to give it to his father, as he does in the case of Leket, then good, but not necessarily as he required to. So the question is, for Savar Rabbi Yossi Cotton Islay Schirma Daraisa. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yossi holds that a cotton is that a cotton is able to be zoicha in something midaraisa, because actually that's the way we say it, not that there's dirabonans involved over here. We're talking about that Rabbi Yossi would say on a daraisa level, the child is able to be zoicha. Therefore, in our Mishnah, not necessarily would Rabbi Yossi say that it goes to the father, because we would stick with the din daraisa. And in the case of leket, for the same reason, the child is acquiring it midaraisa, and therefore that's not a problem. He's not the usher. He's not the one who owns a percentage of the crop of the field. So therefore, no problem for him to collect leket. So, but that implies, so again, as Tosfos had said, the Gemara can't assume that Rabbi Yossi would say that the whole concept was only Medirabanan, because that would require us to say two takanas, one that the child is two zechias, one that the child is zoicha in it for himself, and two that the father is zoicha in it from him, and Tosfos assumes that the Gemara is not going to want to do that. So therefore, so we have to assume that Rabbi Yossi means that the child is actually kona daraisa. The question is that in fact so? We learn in the Mishnah, if a cheres shoyt of a cotton finds something, then there's a matter, we learned this in Gittin, then there's an issue of gezel in it, you're not allowed to take it away from them, not midaraisa, but only midrabon mipnei darkei shalom, in order to keep peace, because otherwise people are going to fight. Rabbi Yossi and gezel gomer, Rabbi Yossi says that it's not only Rabbi Yossi says it's not only midrabanan, it's actually gezel gomer, and the omer of chista, and Rav Chista says when he says gezel gomer, he doesn't mean midaraisa. Now gezel gomer midaraisa would mean to the extent where now the person who takes it would be posel la'edus. Even Rabbi Yossi doesn't go that far. All he means is ela gezel gomer midivrehen. All he means is it's full fledged gezel midrabanan. Now, why would there be a difference? Davka Shalom is also Dirabanan. Nafkamin Allah Tziya B'dayon. So Rav Chista explains the difference would be between the Tanakama, who says it's Davka Shalom, and Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's because Gezel Gomim with Dibrehen would be, can you get it back in Beis Din? So a Cheresh picked up, so a cotton or whatever, picked up something. Somebody else went and grabbed it away from him. According to the Tanakama, he shouldn't have done it, but now that he has it already, it's too late, and the cheresh or the cotton or whatever can't take him to Beis Din and demand it back, because after all, the other guy was koine. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yossi, that it's considered gezel gomer midivrehem, we're not going to go so far as to say that the one who grabbed it is going to be posel la'edus, but Beis Din is going to make him give it back to the cheresh or shoyter or cotton. So we see from that that even Rav Yossi doesn't hold that a cotton is zoche midaraisa. So we're back to the question: how can Rav Yossi say that that in the case of the cotton following his father while and the father is harvesting and meanwhile the son is collecting the leket, that he should be able to? How does that work then? So the answer is Ella Omer Abaya. So Abaya says, no, you're right. Rav Yossi does in fact agree with our Mishnah that the cotton is only zoche midraban. In that case, then why is he allowed to collect the leket? The reason is asa'uha k'mosha holchabar namoshes, because the Chachamim treat this field for this purpose as though it's one where the namoshes have already gone through. We're going to learn at the beginning of the second parak, we're going to talk about the Mishnah in Peya mentions that there comes a point when whatever leket or other matnas anim are left in a field, anybody, poor or rich, is allowed to come and take it. And the Mishnah says that would be once the namoshes have walked through the field. We're going to quote that Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak and explain the word namoshes has two possible meanings. Two different amiroim argue whether it means it can mean old people who walk with a walking stick. So in that case, the word namosh would be from the Shodesh moshash, which means to feel around, because like they feel their way around with their stick. So in other words, the idea is once even those old people have gone through the field, then other aniyim are going to figure, you know what, at that point, there's not going to be anything left for us. If even the old slow walkers have gotten there already, then there's probably nothing left for us. Or the other explanation is it means lakuti, boso lakuti, means one group of aniyim have come and collected whatever they found, and then a second group came after them and collected whatever was left. At that point, any other aniyim are going to be miyayish shmit. They're going to figure that realistically there's nothing left in the field left for us. Anyway, so now Abaya is saying that the same thing, when you have the worker is collecting, and when a worker is harvesting, and the son is collecting leket after him, and then the Chachamim allow the son to take the leket, because not now, even though we're saying, according to Rav Yossi, now we're saying that the cotton has a zechia only midrabana, meaning that deraisa, whatever he finds belongs to his father. So then the question would be, well, how could that be then? How is he collecting the leket when his father is a part owner of the field and shouldn't be allowed to collect the leket? The answer is the Chachamim are making an exception over here and saying that we treat this field as though it was one where the namoshes already went in it. Meaning, Daniyim Gufayu Maski Datayu, the Aniyim themselves are Masiach Das Savi, because they figure, they figure to themselves, look, realistically, what leket are we going to find in this field? The son is following behind his father. Whatever the father drops, the son is immediately going to collect. So there's really not going to be any leket for them in the first place, and therefore they're masiach das and they're miyayish. So that would explain why Rav Yossi allows the son to collect. Not because he's zoicha midaraisa. In fact, Rabbi Yossi agrees that a cotton is zoicha only midarabanan, but because the other aniyim are giving up on finding anything over there anyway. But omelet, there's the two pshatim in the word namoshes. Yeah. So omelet of adab. Yeah. One is that it means the old people. The other is it means the second group of collectors. Yeah. Either way, the point is.
You gave the three words.
Lakuti basa lakuti means collectors after collectors. Means, in other words, when you have the first group went through and collected, and then a second group goes and collects whatever they find that's left, then at that point, any other aniyim are miyayish and figure there's not going to be anything left over here.
That's so, when son is left.
At that point, anybody is allowed to take the leket. In the similar way over here, since to begin with, the aniyim see that his son is following behind him, they're going to realize this is in effect as though there were namoshes over here already. So therefore, they're going to be masiach das, they're going to be miyash, and therefore the son is allowed to collect it, because at that point, anybody is allowed to collect it after the namoshes have been through. So Rabbi is saying, the Chachamim treat this field as though the namoshes have already been through it. But, omelet of adab amasnal Abaya, what kind of an argument is that? Is a person allowed to go and, for example, make a lion sit there in his field so the aniyim will see and run away and not collect the leket, and then he'll be able to take all the leket for himself? Of course not. In fact, Mishnayos and Peya say just that. They don't mention a lion specifically, but it mentions that if a person somehow prevents the aniyim from taking the leket, then he's gozel as aniyim. Well, the same thing over here. How are we allowing this worker to have his son follow behind him? And then the other aniyim are going to say, look, we're not going to be able to collect anything anyway. We may as well not bother. Isn't that the equivalent of the owner of the field preventing the aniyim or doing something to make that the aniyim are not going to want to come into the field?
The son's a
cotton? Yeah, we're talking about a cotton.
And the fact we said that he gives it to his father, so really the father's.
That's what we're asking. If we're going to, that's what we're asking. We've already established that Rabbi Yossi holds the cotton is not Zoycha d'Araisa. We're saying that he's only Zoycha d'Rabbanan, and therefore he can agree with our Mishnah. However, then that doesn't explain why he would say that even when the father gets a percentage of the crop, why should we say the son is allowed to collect just because that means the other aniyim are going to give up? Well, who gave you the right to make them give up in the first place by having your son follow behind you? Yeah. Ela Omar Rava, rather Rava says in this case, osu she'ine zoicha kezoicha. The Chachamim over here have a reason to make somebody who's not normally Zoicha as if he was. Rashi explains that we're talking about the child himself. The child himself usually would not be Zoicha when there's somebody else around to be Zoicha in it instead. But here the Chachamim make an exception and they say that he can be Zoicha for himself and then the worker, his father, can be Zoicha from him. That's according to Rashi. There are other Rishonim who learn that the she'ena zoicha kezoicha means, in other words, that even though normally the worker himself should not be able to be we treat them as though even though they were not zoicha in this lekkah because they didn't pick it up, the chachamim for this purpose are going to treat it as though they did pick it up and then they gave it to him, to the worker. Why? So that's how they explain Enozeichel. My time, Aniyim Gufayu Nichalahu, because the Aniyim themselves would prefer it that way. They also want the same kind of thing when they're hired as seasonal workers, that their children should be able to follow them and collect the leket. So therefore, it's mutually beneficial in this case. Fine, let this worker have his son collect the leket, and that way we'll have the same opportunity another time ourselves. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to make an exception over here. Again, according to Rashi, the vote is, even though normally the son is not going to be Zoicha for himself, in this case, the Chachamim are going to allow him to be Zoicha for himself and then be Mezake to his father. And according to the Rosh, the vote is that even though the other Aniyim have not gotten this Leket, the Chachamim treat it as though the Aniyim did get the Leket and gave it to him, having this in mind that in the future they'll be able to do the same kind of thing. So that doesn't show that doesn't show that in general the cotton should have the right to be zoicha in something on behalf of himself. So no, we can still stick with what Shmuel was saying, that in our Mishnah, when the cotton finds a metziah, he immediately runs it to his father, meaning he's not koneh in the first place. In the case of matnas aniyim, in the case of leket, we're also saying he's not really being koneh himself, but we're saying there the Chachamim made an exception to make the mechanism work in order because the other aniyim liked it that way. Okay. So all of that was Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah, that when it says Metzias Bnei Brita Ktanim, means actual Ktanim below Bar and Bas Mitzvah. Now, Now, what Shmuel is explaining in our Mishnah is disagreeing with what Rav Chiya Ba'Abba said. The Amr Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, Amr Rav Yechanan, Loi Godol Godol Mamish. He explains, that Rav Chiya Ba'Abba explains in the name of Rav Yechanan, the word Godol over here does not literally mean a Godol, that he's over by mitzvah, but like cotton mamish, the word cotton does not mean literally a cotton as in below by mitzvah. Ela godol v'samoch al shulchan aviv zehu cotton. Even if he's a godol, if he's still dependent on his father for his support, that he's still sitting at his father's table and eating his father's food, then he's considered a cotton. So even though he's a godol and he would be able to be zoicha, we have the issue mishum eva. We don't want the father is gonna resent the fact I'm supporting you and you can't even give me your metzia. So therefore, then he's considered a cotton for this purpose. On the other hand, cotton rain a samuch al shulchan aviv. But if he's a cotton and he's not eating by his father's table, zehu godol, then he's considered a godol for this purpose. So it doesn't depend on his actual age. It depends on whether he's living by and being supported by his father's table. Now, Tosfos discusses over here, first of all, the halacha would have to be like, first of all, Tosfos says that the, that, that the, the, well, Tosfos actually discusses this. You'd have the same machlokas by Eru. By Eruv Tchumin, you also have an Eruv Chatzeros and whatever. You have the same kind of machlokas where the Kotan and Godel means the same thing, and they're also you have the same. So they're also you'd have the same kind of thing. So Tosfos says you'd have the same kind of machlokas over there. Hagros Hagro points out that the Rambam disagrees with that and says only here do you have. So here you have Shmuel against Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, but not necessarily would you have the same machlokas when it comes to an Eruv. The nafkamina of it is, so when you make an Eruv Chatzeros or an Eruv Tavshilin or whatever, and you want to be mezakeh through somebody else, that all your neighbors or whoever should be able to join in it as well, do you have to be mezakeh through somebody who's not sitting at your table? According to Tosfos, you would. You would have to find somebody from outside the family to do it with. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, it's not necessary to do that. You can have a member of your household who's a godfather. No. You're mezakeh through somebody else, so you make the Eruv Tavshilin or whatever, and then you're mezakeh through somebody else. It's fine to use a child who's a godol, even though he's eating by your table. Then Tosfos goes on and discusses various other points that now an Omer Hevriya, so even though she's a katana, then her metzia, we said in the mission, doesn't go to her master, and therefore by an eruv, therefore Tosfos says by an eruv you would have the same thing as well, that she is able to be zoicha and mezaka in the eruv. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to discuss various things about the eruv, but then Tosfos says, now the abdev shivchosei ivrim, they are somoch al shulchanai. So why does the Mishnah say they get to keep their metzia for themselves? If according to Rabbi Yochanan was saying that when a child is somoch al shulchanai, then not. So Tosfos draws a distinction. It's only because with his own son, a person usually supports his own son. If the father doesn't support him because of Eva, nobody else is going to necessarily. As opposed to, for example, if somebody else is somoch al shulchan chaveri, for example, a yosem, we're not going to say that. In fact, Mephoshim point out, there is, after all, a mitzvah. There's a big mitzvah to support a yosem, so therefore other people will take it up. If the foster father stops doing that, then other people will take over. And similarly, as far as a girl when she's a naira, there you have the matter of Eva. So therefore the father gets to keep the mitzvah and so on and so forth. So the bottom line is, in other words, it's not just a matter of somo hashulchanai. According to Tosfos, in order for that din to apply, it would have to be somo hashulchanai, and where there would be that nobody else would support him. Otherwise, that's when we say according to Rabbi Yochanan, the metzia goes to him, but otherwise not. Continues the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the definition of godel and cotton in our Mishnah is not physical age, but rather whether there's somoch al shulchan. Okay, now the Mishnah had said metzias abdev shivchose ivri mahareo shal atzman, that with an eved of ivri or omar hevriya, they get to keep whatever they find. So the question is, am I lo yehei elapoyel? Fine, you're saying that you don't own the guf, and therefore, and as Tosfos had said, that other people will support them if necessary. But shouldn't they have at least the din of a worker? V'tanya, we learned in a braisa, which you learned this the other day, metzias poyel la'atzmai, what a worker finds, he gets to keep for himself. Only when he hired him, for example, for a specific job, weed with me today or hoe with me today. So then when he's picking up the metzia, it's not part of his work. So we said he gets to keep the metzia, and the owner can deduct from his pay the amount of time that it took him to find that metzia. But if he hired him in general to do work, then whatever he finds belongs to the balabais, because then whatever he finds is part of the malacha that he was hired for. Well, the same thing, an eved or a shifra. You don't buy an eved ivri or an omer ivri for a specific job. You buy them for general household work. So then why should their metzia go? Why should they be able to keep their metzia? The answer is omer apchiba abba, omer abyechran. In our Mishnah, we're talking about where the Eved's job, or the Omer Evriya's job, is to pierce holes, to drill holes in pearls, which is a very delicate, professional kind of job, and therefore he doesn't want the Ein Rabbi, She'ein Rabbi, Roitzel, Shanoisel, Malacha Acheres, the master would not want him to do any other kind of work. He doesn't want him to be looking for Metzias, because his time is a lot more valuable than the Metzias. So therefore, so now when the Eved picks up the Metzia, then we can't say it's part of his job. Yes, the master bought the Eved or the Eved Ivri or the Omer Ivriya specifically for the purpose. He knows they have this talent, they have the skill of Nokiv Magolius, but nevertheless, or they buy them for general work, but he knows they have the skill of Nokiv Magolius, and therefore the expectation is that's what they're going to be doing for the entire time they're working for him. Therefore, we can't say that finding Metzias is part of that job, even though he bought them in the general sense. By the way, the line in Hayom Yom that says that the person has to know what he's capable of an avoda. You have a line over there that if you have a person who's capable of making, of like we're saying, of drilling holes in pearls, and instead he goes and starts baking bread instead, and baking bread is a very necessary thing. Nevertheless, l'chet yichoshev ishahu, because he's not using the talents that the Eibishter gave him. See? Here in a similar, here we have the same thing in a nigladika way that we're saying, in other words, that if the Eved is capable of drilling holes in pearls, the master doesn't want him to pick up even the most valuable matzia because his time is worth more than that. Rava gives a different answer. Our Mishnah is talking about magbia matzia im malachdoi askinan. We're talking about when he picks up the matzia as he's doing his work. So we're not talking about that he didn't take off any time from his work at all. If he had taken off time, then yes, we're saying that the metzia would go to then the metzia, then. So if he had taken off time work, then yes, we're talking about that. Then he'd be able to keep the metzia, and the owner would and the balabas would deduct the amount of time that he spent finding it. On the other hand, the Ritva says maybe not necessarily. The difference is an Eved or a Shivcha. The difference is that if a worker finds a Metzia, he can't say, look, you know what, I'm going to decide on my the Ritva draws a distinction like this. When it comes to a regular worker, if there's Bitul Malacha involved, he can't say, listen, you know what, I'll reimburse you for the time that I spent on finding this Metzia, and let me keep the Metzia for myself. He doesn't really have the ability to do that. The most he can do, as we learned the other day, is he can quit the job in the middle, because Poyo Yochel Lachzabaya for the Machtzia Yom. And Eved Ivri, generally, when he finds a Metzia, there's no Bitul Malacha L'Rabe, because an Eved Ivri, in general, is bought for general work, so therefore we can say that any Metzia that he finds, he's able to keep. So we can distinguish, in other words, between whether it takes him any extra time to find the Metzia or not. But by a poil, the Ritva is saying not necessarily you would have that distinction.
Well, if you're not doing Margolis, but it's just the general Eved, then the Metzia should go to.
That's the point. In other words, Rava is saying when he's picking it up at the same time as his Malacha, therefore, that would be when it doesn't belong to the Odin at all, because now there's nothing to be deducted from his pay or anything. Or he didn't take off any time that should belong to his Balabas. But yeah. Rapapa, who ventures soccer to the locket Metzias. Rapapa says a third possibility is when we say that whatever a worker finds belongs to the Balabas, would be where to begin with he hired him to find Metzias. Vehechidami, what would be the scenario? The Akfi Agma Bakavi. Suppose, for example, that a river overflooded and fish was stranded on the bank, and now you have a lot of fish. So now he hires somebody to collect as many possible of those fish. So now, if meanwhile he finds another Metzia over there, the worker finds another Metzia over there, then therefore that goes to his master as well, because he was hired for that job of finding Metzias. We're not going to say that the master only expected him to collect fish and any other Metzia is not part of his job. No, we're going to say his general job is to collect any kind of Metzias. Kavri means fish. But on the other hand, our Mishnah is talking about a regular Eved or Shivcha. You didn't buy them for the purpose of collecting Metzias. You bought them for general household work, so therefore they get to keep whatever they find for themselves. So again, the Braisa had drawn a distinction between whether he hires him for a specific job or not. So the Rosh explained what we would have to say then. What it means is if he says, I'm hiring you for a specific job, but if I'm telling you that your specific job is to collect Metzias, then whatever you find belongs to me. Next. The question is, Hai Shivcha Hechidam. We're talking about an Omer Hevriya, a Shivcha. So we're saying that whatever she finds, we said belongs to her. But the question is, what exactly is the scenario? Ida Icy Shtei Cyrus, if she's already developed Shtei Cyrus and she's considered a Gdola, my boy Agabe, yeah, what's she still doing by her master? She should go free already, as we learned in Kedushin. The Idoloi Icy Shtei Cyrus, if she hasn't yet developed Shtei Cyrus, then it depends. E Isela of the Abu Ahavia, if her father is still alive, it should belong to her father because she is a Ktana. The Idol Lesser Av, typical Mrs. Av, if the father has died, then she should go free when the father dies. The Omer Rish Lakish, in fact, Rish Lakish says in the Gemara in Kedushin, Omer Hivriya, Koner, Koner Es Atzma, Mrs. Av, Mirshusa Oden, Omer Hivriya, Koner Atzma, Mrs. Av, Mirshusa Oden, Mikava Choymer. Rish Lakish makes a Kava Choymer to say that an Omer Hivriya goes free when her father dies. His Kava we're talking about she was in Omer Hivriya. And then during the 6 years or before she develops Shtei Cyrus or whatever, her father dies. Rish Lakish makes a kavachomer like this. Simone Nairus, when she develops Shtei Cyrus, that doesn't take her out of the Rishus of her father. She's still under the Rishus of her father as long as she's a Naira, until she becomes a Begeris. And yet, if her father dies, then she's out of his Rishus. And yet Shtei Cyrus take her out of the Rishus of her master, because once she develops Shtei Cyrus, then she's free. So Mrs. Av takes her out of the Rishus of her father, how much more so it should take her out of the Rishus of the master? That's Rish Lakish's Kavachoyim. So then in that case, so how do you have a scenario over here where she's an Omer Hivriya and she's and the Metziah should belong to her? Shouldn't it belong to her father if she's a Ktana, and if her father's dead, then or she develops Shtei Cyrus, then she goes free. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? Valavi Tosav Rish Lakish. Didn't we slug up Rish Lakish over there and say that the halacha is not like him? So the Gemara says, you're right. Name a Mahai Nami Teviti Yovta. Still, should we say that from here also we have a contradiction to Rish Lakish? Meaning, even if we were to find some way of answering the question that the Gemara asks over there in Kedushin on Rish Lakish, then you would say, nevertheless, you also have our Mishnah contradicting. The Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. La'olam. In fact, in our Mishnah, you're talking about where the father is still alive. When the Mishnah says that belongs to them, we just mean as opposed to it doesn't belong to their master. But if she being a Ktana, it still goes to her father. Whether as Rashi had said, because she's still under her father's Rishus, or whether as Tosfos had said, Mishum Eva, either way, the point is, when the Mishnah is saying that it goes la'atzman, we don't mean that she gets to keep it herself. We mean it doesn't go to her master. It remains in her family. And then, because she's a Ktana, it goes to her father. So not necessarily is our Mishnah talking about where the father is dead, such that it would contradict the Rish Lakish. We can be talking about actually where the father is alive.
But that's kind of,
it doesn't stay because the Gemara slugs it up on the basis of a Brice over there. Next, we said Metzias Ishtoi. We said if his wife finds something, and by the way, as far as this Maya Boya Gabe, Tosfos also points out that you can't say that she sold herself after she went free, because only a man can do that. A man can sell himself into slavery. An Eved Ivri can sell himself into slavery. A woman cannot. So there's no possible way, the Gemara is saying, that once she's a Gedola, that she would that she would ever be an Omer Hivriya. She can't sell herself, that's what we're saying. And she's also not sold with Mevasa. If a woman steals and she can't afford to pay, she's not sold with an Omer Hivriya. Yeah.
Some of the guys sell themselves because she has no food, so she has no food, she can't.
Doesn't matter, yeah. Okay. Next. So well, yeah, we're learning from Sokom, yeah. Okay, so Metzias Ishtoi. So we say that there is actually that Ramban brings on Psukim over there, that Ramban brings in his Pirush on the Pasuk that a woman can sell herself, and many Mephoshim ask on him based on this Gemara and based on other things that seem that not, and they answer even that Ramban himself is not necessarily saying Alibah Dehilchasa, he's saying according to a Hava Amin and Sifri or something that brings up the possibility, but in the end it doesn't work out. Okay. We said Metzias Ishtoi. We said if his wife finds something after he divorced her, then she keeps it for herself. So the Gemara asks, Yerusha Pshita. Obviously, if he divorced her, then she keeps it for herself with the Chiddush. The answer is Chochma Maiskin Megureshes Ve'en Megureshes. Here you're talking about which he's divorced but not divorced, meaning it was a suffix. For example, he threw her get in Rosh Hasharabim, and it's a suffix whether it landed closer to her or closer to him. Wherever the Chachamim say about a case like that, that a woman is suffic megurashes, bayla chayiv mizenasel, then her husband is still chayiv to support her. So now you would think, in that case, then he gets the metziah. But no, time of my omer abanan bayla chayiv, time of my omer abanan metziah sich of the bayla. What's the reason why the Chachamim say that a woman's metziah goes to her husband? Is in order to prevent Eva, the husband shouldn't think, I'm supporting her, why don't I get her Matthias? Hoch isla Eva ve'eva. He's already trying to divorce her. There's already Eva between them anyway. So therefore, there's nothing to be gained by giving her, by giving him the Matthias, and therefore she gets to keep it. Because we're talking about over here, Suffolk Megurashis. So when the Mishnah had said that he didn't give her a Ksuba yet, the Mishnah means, in other words, that we're not in the position of paying the Ksuba yet, because it's still Suffolk Megurashis. And nevertheless, we're saying that already because of the Suffolk Gerushin, and then therefore he doesn't get her Metziah. The Rosh actually brings from the Yerushalmi, who understands differently, that we're talking about there was a Vada Gerushin, but he didn't pay her Huksuba, and nevertheless the Mishnah is saying that, you would think, since he didn't give her Huksuba, therefore maybe he should be able to keep her Metziah, and we're saying that not. Again, because like our Gemara is saying, Loi Chashin La'eva. So the Rosh goes on to explain, and the Rif explains that it comes out that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are arguing on this. We have a usual rule that when the Bavli and the Yerushalmi argue, we usually paskin like the Bavli, because the Bavli was written later than the Yerushalmi. They knew what the Chachamim of the Yerushalmi had said. We have all over in the Gemara Bavli, we have Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shlokish and Rabbi Lazar and all the other Chachamim, and Rabbi Yirmiyah and all the other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they knew in Bavli what they had discussed in Eretz Yisrael, and if they disagreed with it, or in this case they ignored the possibility altogether, then it means they mean to say the halacha is not like that. So the Rif gives a general rule that when you have a Bavli versus Yerushalmi, the halacha is like the Bavli. So that being the case, then the din of our Mishnah would apply, like the Bavli says, like our Gemara says, only when she's Suffolk Megurashis, not like the Yerushalmi says if she's Vade Megurashis and she hadn't paid her Uksuba. Well, then, either way, the point is the Metziah goes to her, but rather, according to the Yerushalmi, would say when Suffolk Megurashis, he would still be able to get her Metziah, whereas from our Gemara, it comes out that not. Okay. From here on until the end of the Perek, we're going to be dealing with dinim of finding shtaris. So when you consider it, when you find a shtar, on the one hand, there's a simen because you have names in it, and you can even have, we're going to talk about an Eil Metzias, we're going to learn about, you can have that a person has a specific simen in it, there's a hole next to a certain letter or something, a simen muvak, but you always have the problem. The fact is, this shtar was lost. First of all, the very fact that it was lost, the Gemara is going to point out, that itself might show there's a problem with it. Why were you so careless as to lose the shtar? That may indicate that there's some kind of problem with it, and maybe in fact, you forged it, and therefore, almost like subconsciously, you realize there's something wrong over here, and therefore you weren't careful with it, or something like that. And not maybe not. Maybe like he still wants to use it, but like somewhere in the back of his head, there's his Yetzer Tov, his Nefesh of the Kiss is telling him he shouldn't be doing that. So therefore, almost accidentally on purpose, he drops it or something, or at least he's less careful with it. But you have that. It also opens up the possibility that the loiva can claim that he paid it back or whatever, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So, who was the one who dropped it in the first place? Was it the malva or was it the loiva, for example? If the malva dropped it, it's still an outstanding debt. If the loiva dropped it, it means it was already returned to the loiva. So that's going to be the subject of, from here till the end of the parak, is discussing the ins and outs of those din. So the Mishnah says, "Motzah shtorei choiv." If a person finds shtorei choiv, a person finds a shtar choiv, which says that Reuben had previously lent money to Shimon. Im yesh ben achrayus nechosim. So it depends. If the shtar has an achrayus nechosim, meaning a shtibud on karka, if it says that whatever karka Shimon owns at the time, or whatever he's going to buy, or whatever, is almost shubud to this debt, lo yafzir, then he shouldn't return the shtar to Beis Din nifroin mehen, because Beis Din is going to use that shtar to collect from the karka. And the problem is that what if the shtar is posel, and then they're taking away karka from third parties, shaloi kadin, as we're going to work out in the Gemara the details of that. in ben achrayus nechosim. But if there's no achrayus nechosim yachzir, then there's no problem returning. Shein based in nefroim mehen, because based in is anyway not collecting from third parties, so therefore there's no problem with returning the shtar. Divrei Rav Meir. V'cham, I mean, ben kach or ben kach lo yachzir. So the chum say either way you shouldn't return. Based in nefroim mehen, because either way based in is going to use it to collect from karka, because the chachamim hold achrayus tos sofer. Even if the shtar does not say in it the word achrayos, nevertheless, we assume as though it said that. We assume that the sofer made a mistake and forgot to include the achrayos part, but it still applies, and the malva can still collect from karka, from mishabodim. So therefore, either way, you'd have a problem, because again, the shtar may be possible, and then you're using it to collect from people, shalokadin. Well, that's in effect, when we're saying lo yachzir, that means, in other words, we're going to leave it in escrow and based in, yeah. What are you, the finder, going to do with the shtar? Yeah, the pashtus just means you bring it to Beis Din and deposit it with them. There is, by the way, an interesting point. What about if they do return it to the malva when they weren't supposed to? Now, the Rambam holds in that case, doesn't matter. It's true that there was a reyeser in the shtar. It's true we have reason to suspect there may have been something wrong with the shtar. But the Rambam says, once the malva has it back, whether they returned it to him correctly or not, then he can go ahead and collect with it as though it were a normal shtar. The Ravid disagrees and says it's not really so simple to say that. If you have the cases where we're concerned about that the shtar is forged, or that there's a knunya, or various things that the Gemara is going to discuss over the next couple of blot, then we can't necessarily say just because the malva got it back that you should be able to collect. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara starts off. The Maya Skinner, what are we talking about over here according to the mayor? Ilema Kashachayev Moida. Are we talking about over here where the loiva is moida that the shtar has not been paid off yet? So then kiyesh ben achrayus nechosim amay lo yachzir. So what's the problem, according to the mayor, of returning it when there's achrayus nechosim hal moida? He's admitting that the loan is still outstanding, so then it's a perfectly good shtar. If you're going to say that it means when he's not moida, he's claiming that the shtar was already paid off or something, then ki ein behen achrayus nechosim amay yachzir. What's the difference whether there's achrayus nechosim or not? Even if there's no achrayus nechosim, according to the mayor, why should he be returning? Nihid like government mishabu. It's true he's not collecting from the chosim mishabodim mibnei chori migbagobi, but he's still collecting from the chosim mibnei chorin. And why should we allow him to when the loiva is claiming that the shtar was paid off already? One interesting point, by the way, that's brought up in this connection. Usually the loiva would not have the ability to say that it was paid off or whatever without some kind of proof. Because I think the Rashba points out, we would say, shtorcha biyode my boy. The malva would say, look, if you already paid it off, why is the shtar still by me? But here the shtar is not by him. He lost it. Therefore, that takes away that ability to claim that. And therefore, that gives the loiva an opening to claim that it was paid back. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, in fact, we are talking about where the loiva admits that the shtar is still outstanding. The reason why we're saying that even that when there's a shibud in it, you shouldn't return it. Because the problem is he may have written the shtar in Nisan, and he didn't actually go and borrow with it until Tishrei. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says that now he wants, so now he doesn't want to have to pay the sofer. It's a bother to write another shtar and get edim and whatever. And he'd also have to pay the sofer again. So therefore, so now he figures this shtar that I wrote months ago, let me go and use it now. Tosfos explains, in other words, we don't mean, in other words, that he already borrowed with it earlier before he dropped it. That wouldn't work out with the continuation of the Gemara. If you already borrowed with it, then of course he's careful to watch it. What we mean is he hasn't yet borrowed with it, but here it's already dated Nisan, and he plans to first use it in Tishrei. So now, the result is he's going to end up taking from Lekuchas improperly, because according to Tosfos's way of looking at it, means, in other words, that he hasn't even borrowed the money yet, and here the shtar is going to look like it was already written in Nisan, and as though he already borrowed money in Nisan, and therefore any property that he sold from Nisan onward is going to be taken from the Lekuchas because of Nechosim Mishabodim, and the fact is it's not supposed to be that way because the Halvah hadn't even taken place yet. That's a point of Rashi. There are the Rashba and other Rishonim actually learned differently, that no, we're talking about the shtar was used, But he used it a later date than the actual borrowing. So then it's called a shtar mukdam. It's a predated shtar, and there you have the same kind of problem. You have, in other words, that the loan was only taken out in Tishrei. Meanwhile, it looks as though it was written 6 months earlier in Nissan, and therefore you're going to end up taking from Lekuchas improperly. In fact, the Rashba adds, we're not even talking about the loiva is not lying. Therefore, according to Tosfos, you would have to say the loiva is lying because he should know there wasn't a loan already. And why is he claiming that? Why is he chayev moida? According to the Rashba, we're saying it's not even that he's lying; he just forgot. He knows there was a loan. He forgot exactly when it took place. And the fact is, the shtar says a date of Nissan. So the Gemara asks Sihochi, if you're going to say like that, then we should have the same concern. Any shtar that comes before us, maybe the halvah didn't take place yet, or maybe it was predated or whatever. The answer is kol shtori v'ri. The answer is because other shtaris don't have a reyusa. You don't have any reason to suspect that there's something wrong with it. Hani ri, but here you lost the shtar. Here a shtar was lost. That itself creates a reyusa with it, that the malva himself was not careful with it. So that gives us more reason to say if it was a shtar kosher, he would have been more careful with it. So the very fact that he dropped it itself creates a reyusa in it, and therefore that makes it that allows us to argue that maybe it's not a valid shtar. Maybe it wasn't used yet for the loan. Maybe it's predated. Maybe it was paid off already, etc.
So that he was going to the Midbar and robbers, they jump.
It could happen, but first of all, if he's going through the Midbar, why is he carrying the shtaris with him? Anything could happen, but once we find the lost shtar, that already creates a certain reyus in it. We have to be concerned that maybe the very fact that the shtar had an unusual thing happen to it means there's something else the matter with the shtar.
I think what based as the rey, but like private person. Everyone knows about
it. It can happen. Let's say maybe in a case like that, but we're talking about you find an individual shtar like that in the street, then you have to be concerned that maybe it was lost, maybe he wasn't as careful with it as a person would usually be careful with his shtaris. They mentioned an interesting thing in this regard, actually. Every so often you have the question always comes up. For example, you find, let's say, you find things in a gniza or something. You find evidence, let's say, that the Masoda and Tanakh would be different than the way we have it, because you find old Kisvayad or something like that. Sometimes you find an old Ksavyad of Rishonim that wasn't known before, and should you decide the Halacha according to it? One interesting approach to it is, you say, for example, the question is asked, let's say you find a pair of tefillin in Gniza. So here you have like this. We know there's the Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam about the order of tefillin. So the one thing that we've shown him bringing that connection, at one point the platform over the caver of Yechezkel HaNavi in Bavel fell down, collapsed, and they found inside of the pair of tefillin that were written according to Rabbeinu Tam. So they said, you see a raya from that, that the halacha should be like Rabbeinu Tam. You see in Yechezkel's times, they were wearing tefillin that way. So a counter argument to that was, fakir, maybe they were puzzled, and that's why they put them in Gniza. So in a way, the very fact that you find a pair of tefillin in a Gniza itself brings a suspicion that maybe what are they doing in a Gniza rather than actually being used is because they're puzzled. So that's somewhat similar to the way we're saying over here. A shtar was lost, and now is found. That itself creates a certain reyus in it. So that whole question of bichlal, to what extent we use findings like that to establish halacha, is really not so simple at all. But that is one of the arguments that's brought to bear in that connection. So in other words, hypothetically, if we were to find, let's say, a sefer Torah that we know for a fact was written by Moshe Rabbeinu or by Ezra or what have you, and we would find differences in Masoda from it, from our sefer Torah, would not necessarily mean that we're going to go start correcting our sefer Torah to match it. Because again, you would have to ask, even if we know for a fact that it was written by him, nevertheless, though, we find it in Gniza now, and does that mean maybe at some point it became possible and therefore we can't derive anything from it? So it's an interesting point that Achronim discuss. But yeah. They found there's a caver of Yechezkel HaNavi in Bavel. I think it still exists there. Ada Yemazeh. I think even the Arabs have a certain respect for it. Yeah. So the Rishonim bring that at one point the platform over it collapsed and they found a whole bunch of things underneath it, including a pair of tefillin.
Obviously
someone put it there. But the question is, did he put it there because they were kosher tefillin and just they wore out and he couldn't use it anymore, or did he put them there because they were posel and they still have Shemus of Hashem in there, and therefore you have to put them in Gniza?
You could on the earth.
You mean they buried it in the platform.
Not together with him.
No, but in the platform, in the whole general area over there.